It is so good to see you guys this morning. Somebody said in the prayer room that this morning looked like a cold winter day. If you just looked outside, kind of does, doesn't it? But when we got outside, it wasn't very cold, just a little bit. But that's the way it goes. It is January, so it's about time to have a little bit of cold weather. I'm glad that you're here this morning, and we're going to get started. John chapter 18 is a long chapter. Well, it's 40 verses. And so we're going to jump right into it, John chapter 18. And although it'll take a considerable number of minutes, we're going to read the whole chapter to kick off our minds into the what's being said in John chapter 18. As Brother Strunk would say, it's on page 936 in my Bible. Okay. By the way, pray for the Strunks. Brother Strunk is doing very well. They both had COVID and are trying to get over that. But he's still wanting to do his traveling and preaching. And he feels like God is still not done with him yet. He is going to have to do it wisely and with sense. And so he's trying to figure out some ways how to get around without having to drive by himself all the time. And Miss Trunk has nearly lost all her hearing. COVID, she never had a lot of, her hearing was not strong, and COVID came and finished the rest of it off. So he's got that on his mind too. If he leaves and she can't hear, so I'm preaching to the choir. You got your own deals. So we just like to have him around, and he's been a blessing to our church family for probably 15 years now. So pray for the Strunks. John chapter 18, and we're going to start in verse number 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither or there with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto him, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Let me just stop there real quick. Now, if I had fallen to the ground the first time, I think I would have been a little more cautious about answering again. Can you imagine this? And I'm jumping away ahead of myself, but this has always blown me away right here. Part of the miraculous power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came out at this moment. And we'll see the magnitude of that in just a minute. Jesus answered in verse number 8, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that's John, the man who's writing this gospel. He's got a first-hand account here. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that door, that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered them, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. Denial number two. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Denial number three. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence or here. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So they chose to release a common criminal over releasing their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, that was the problem. He wasn't their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because they didn't believe in him. The Apostle John has spent 17 chapters telling us how important it is to believe, how important it is to have a sincere heart before God. And so this account from chapters 18 to chapter 20, the last three chapters in the book of John, this account details this area of our life a little differently than the other three Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about the events from a human perspective. Now that's important. We're all human. We all get emotional. We get mad. We get passionate about things. We get sick of things. Well, in crucifixion and being falsely accused like our Lord was, there was a lot of passion. There were a lot of emotions and feelings that Jesus had and the disciples had. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke brings all of that out for us. There's so much in those three Gospels that's not in the book of John. And why is that? Because John, in his entire book, has talked about not so much God, the man, or rather Jesus, the man, but rather Jesus, the Son of God. He's talked about his deity. He's talked about how important it is to give God the glory and how important it is to be sincere with God and how important it is to believe. Just think back to all we've talked about and all we've read from these 17 chapters. Our Lord would cut right to the chase. And that's what he's doing with Pilate and Annas and Caiaphas in this chapter. He's not holding anything back. I was telling Valerie yesterday, it's almost, he's so stern in the answers that he gives these men, these Jewish leaders, first of all, and then Pilate, Roman governor. He's so stern with them, and his answers are so short that they're almost rude answers. But listen, that's what John has told us is our Lord from the very beginning, from John chapter 1. Our Lord was sent from eternity, way back in eternity, and sent to this earth to die for me and you. And John has reminded us of that the entire 17 chapters. And so he doesn't talk about emotions and passions and feelings. Well, I got to tell you, what we need to learn from John is although we're human and we do have passions and fears and loves and joys and anxieties, although we have all of that, God's given us all of that. We've got all of that in this makeup here in our human body and in our human mind. We need to be like John, though, as well. And that's have a sincere heart before God and just realize that, hey, listen, you know, it may matter to me how I feel today, and it may matter to me. We were talking in the prayer room this morning how oftentimes God would move you to do something. The Spirit of God would move us to do something. Now, for me, that can be as little as moving a thought into my head to go to a certain chapter. And sometimes because of the busyness of all of our lives or maybe our discouragement or our anger on somewhere else, we shrug that aside and we don't do it. I want you to know that although the passions and emotions that we have, our attitudes and all of our human things and all of our emotions are important, but not nearly as important as having a heart that is sincere before God. And when he moves us to do something, we need to act upon it. Or at least you say, well, how do we know it's from the Lord? Well, that's where communication comes in. Jesus spent the entire chapter 17 communicating with his Father things that his Father already knew. And yet they still communicated. They still communicated. It's important that we do that. And so here in the book of John, he talks about the deity of Christ. He's a man with all of his passions, and it's going to hurt getting put up on that cross, and it's going to be so heartbreaking for the Jews to betray him. But he's the Son of God. And when Caiaphas and when, my mind went blank, Annas and Pilate ask him these questions that we're going to read slower over today and next Sunday. He gives them point blank, yes or no. And then sometimes he throws the question back at them. Why? Because he's the Son of God and he can do that. Because he's deity. So verse 1 says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. Now, they've crossed this brook many times, and they tell us that a brook can best be described by a stream most of the year, or even dry most of the year, but when it really rains, it becomes a torrential water flow. It's something that catches a lot of water. They've crossed this location. It goes from the temple over to the through the brook Kidron, and then over to the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives is basically a mountain full of olive groves, a whole bunch of different locations of olive groves. And today we're in, John doesn't tell us this. Now, once again, he doesn't tell us this because it's not important in the big scheme of things. But we find out from Matthew and Mark that it's Gethsemane. That's the name of this olive grove where they press these olives. So there are many other olive groves on the Mount of Olives, but this one's Gethsemane. And verse 2 says, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. Now look here, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. So Judas knew exactly where he was going. They'd been there many times. Now as far as we know, Jesus did not like spending time in the city. He retreated to the country. And here in the last week of his life, he retreats to the country. He retreats to the Mount of Olives, to Gethsemane. And he's going there for two reasons. He's going there to have some quiet time with his disciples. And number two, and he probably even more important, he's going to make it easy for him to be captured and bound up by the Jewish and the Roman authorities. Why is that? Because he's on a mission. Started way back in John 1:1. And all that time of our Lord saying, my time is not yet at hand. He wasn't ready for this. He had one thing to do, and now he's finishing up the last chapters of doing this. And part of that is surrendering himself to the people that will kill him through a mock trial that was a joke. Even by Jewish justice standards, it was a joke. And we'll find it was also very deceptive as well. But that was okay. He was willing to do this. As this was prophesied in Isaiah 53, verse 7, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And he didn't, other than answering the questions that were asked him. And so verse 3 says, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Now, a band, I've read a lot from different historians on this, and there's a little bit of disagreement about the number of a band. So I think what I'll do is what everybody agreed on, the lowest that they agreed on was 200 or 300, and then the most they agreed on was 500 or 600. So this was a lot of people. If we take the lowest amount, here Judas Iscariot, the traitor, is coming through. Is this thing on? I keep getting weaker when I walk away from the podium mic, and I want to walk around. This thing, it is on now. Lost my train of thought. Listen, the lowest was about 200. 600 was about the highest. You can say this was a lot of people. That low-down traitor, Judas Iscariot, brought with him hundreds of people. And he brought them for one reason, to capture the Son of God and put him to death. And verse 4 says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and saith unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Now, they don't call him Jesus Christ or Jesus the Son of God or Jesus Christ the Messiah, the King of... No, it's just Jesus of Nazareth. That's how they know him. Why? Because they're lost. They don't see him as their Lord. They've closed their eyes to anything that God, the Son of God, has been about, and they don't see him. And verse 6 says, as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, can you just picture with me let's say 500 people. Any number in your mind, from 200 to 600. Let's say 500 people. When Jesus says, I am He, all falling backwards to the ground at the same time. Oh my goodness. Is your mind there? I cannot imagine that. But what we see is a momentary display of God's power, as He has done all throughout the book of John, healing the blind people, raising the dead. He's done this over and over again, feeding 20,000 people. It says 5,000 men with five loaves and two fishes, or two loaves and five fishes. Get my numbers wrong. The point is the miraculous power of God came out just like this. And you know what is amazing to me on this? It doesn't seem like nothing was affected from that. Now, they may have talked among themselves, you know, as they were getting up. Oh, Sam, what was that? Good night. Oh, Jim, what took us down there? I don't know. Wouldn't you be talking about this? What happened there? So they fell to the ground when Jesus said, I am He. Let me read you a few verses that was prophesied. First one's Psalm 27, verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Listen to this. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. How about this one? Psalms 40, verse 14. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. So here we have the Son of God who answered a question, and who was asked the question and he answered the question, and when he did, all these people fell backwards. And verse 7 says, then ask he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, just personally, real quick here, I think I would have been more careful about the second answer. At least I would have braced myself when I answered, you know, because it's coming again. Now, it didn't come again. But that's why I say in the story, nothing seems to have been affected by this miraculous pushing down of these 200 or 400 or 500 men. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am He. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Now remember last chapter, in chapter 17, Jesus is talking to his Father God, and he's talking and praying for the disciples, and he said in verse 12 of chapter 17, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, he's simply taken care of his disciples till the very last moment, and as he's being arrested, he starts bargaining for their safety. Now, Jewish justice, you know, history, this is what we find from history when you look at how things used to be. Jewish history tells us that they were very particular on witnesses and facts. So if during that time, normally, now not counting now because all bets are out the window, this is a mockery trial, there's no sense to this. Normally they would take the disciples in as witnesses and get proof. They would need evidence. They're not even interested in them. And Jesus further protects them by saying, we just need to leave them alone. And it seems like everything that he says here actually happens. Why? Because he's the Son of God. And he is driving the show here. There's probably 400 or 500 of these soldiers thinking that they've got this thing whipped because he's one person, and here's 500 soldiers with their weapons, and Jesus is controlling the whole thing. I find that miraculous. And verse 10 continues and says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Now the cup is associated with what he had to do. He's been drinking of this cup since day one. And that was come down here and die for me and you. And Jesus is ready to do it. And he's saying, "Peter, don't do that. You're living in the flesh again, Peter. Listen, you've heard me say what I got to do. Now, put your emotions to the side and let this thing happen." Now, John doesn't tell us. But Jesus reaches down. The other Gospels tell us that Jesus reaches down and picks up Malchus's ear, puts it back on. Miracle number two. Jesus's power came out of the blue just like that. He's the Son of God. He can do that. John doesn't tell us that. But once again, back to the justice thing. In a normal situation, since Peter, in his anger, had cut off the ear of this servant to the high priest, he should have been arrested. But he wasn't. Why was that? Because I think Jesus was calling the shots. He was calling the shots on every step of this thing. And Jesus, when he said, "Shall I not drink this cup?" This cup of suffering and bitterness, it's almost like such a willingness to do so. When I read that verse, I thought of Hebrews 12:2. "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." The joy. Just for a moment, these 500 soldiers are sitting out here at Gethsemane, and Jesus is having fun with them. For the joy that was set before him, he's having fun with all these soldiers. He had fun when he reached down and picked up that ear and put it back on Malchus. Can you just know that? Watching their reactions. It's the Son of God. And then it says in verse number 12, "Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year." Now, they tell us that Annas was the most powerful one. He was probably still physically in the office, but the new high priest was his son-in-law, Caiaphas. And it was at a time of transition, but Annas was the real devious one. He was calling all the shots. They also say that the Romans didn't like Annas, but they liked his son-in-law, Caiaphas. So you got a lot of political junk behind the scenes here that we're not shown. And so here they take him to Annas first, which is the father-in-law to the high priest. And it says in verse 14, "Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple." That's John, the writer. "That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest." So we don't know why John was known to the high priest. Evidently there had been some time, there had been some association there. But he goes in with Jesus into the palace, and Peter stays outside. And it says in verse 16, "But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple," which he's inside the palace now, but now in verse 16 he's coming out. "Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter.
And so Peter's out by the door, wasn't allowed to go in at first, and John comes back out and talks to the lady that was keeping the door. And I would take it that John said, "Listen, we need Peter for some reason. Can he come in? Can he come in here?" And she must have said yes, because Peter starts walking in. And as he walks in, he passes her. Probably hello or something like that. But in verse 17, it says, "Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not." Peter. Once again, Peter. Such a strong individual, but yet such a weak one at the same time. This is his first denial. Now, we're not going to get into the rest of the chapter, but you already know the story about Peter. Way back in, I bookmarked it, way back in John chapter 13, verse 36, it says, "Simon Peter saith unto him," the Lord, "Lord, whitherest thou goest? And Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, Will you? Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice," or three times. That was probably 12 hours ago. After Peter said, "Lord, I'll do anything for you. I'll follow you. I'll fight for you." And here he's already denied him once. And our Lord had said, "The cock shall not crow till you've denied me three times." And here he's done it number one. You know what? That's a negative thing. But let me leave this thing with you that is positive. Very, very, very positive. We all, in our own ways, deny the Lord. That's not easy to hear, is it? We all, in our own minds, sometimes deny the Lord. We ignore Him. We say no to this or that. But what we can take great comfort is this right here. Peter denied the Lord three times, and the Lord's prophecy was fulfilled about that. But if you flipped the book from and go from John to the book of Acts, our Lord gets Peter, the same man, to preach a sermon where 3,000 people come to the Lord. Isn't that great? You know what that tells me? If I have denied the Lord, and if I have inadvertently been like Peter and put my foot in my mouth, which I do from time to time, and I've done something that would bring dishonor to His name, that automatically does not disqualify me from being used again by Him. It's all about our heart. It's all about how humble we are. And it's all about how much we want to be used by Him. God used Peter in a great and mighty way, even though all the way through the Gospels, all the way through the book of John, he stumbled. He opened his mouth and he caused hurt, and yet God used him so much. Isn't God good? Doesn't he give us way more than we deserve? Yes, he does. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for these things.